Voters in this election are going to choose a justice who will help make decisions that affect Wisconsin people every day. Decisions like how to balance the need of police to catch criminals, or terrorists, with the right of people accused of such things to get a fair shake. Or when is it the average person's duty to understand their insurance policy, and when is it the insurance company's fault for writing something unclear? Judicial candidates won't talk about specific issues that they might have to judge one day. They also can't tell voters that they're associated with the known commodity of a political party, at least not officially. Jim Schmitz of Jefferson stopped by a senior center where Pat Rogensack was campaigning. He didn't know who she was, so she gave him a pamphlet. He looked it over for just a brief moment before saying, "You've got my vote." Afterward, he explained his decision this way.
Just some of her credentials and, some of the people that are endorsing her, Congress Paul Ryan out of Janesville and, you know, former Governor Tommy Thompson, that just about sums it up. I mean, it doesn't get any better than having the Secretary of Health and Human Services endorse the nominee for the Supreme Court.
While Rogensack's endorsements include some Democratic lawmakers, minority community leaders, and one labor union, they're outnumbered by Republicans and business groups. The list of her opponent, Ed Bruner, includes two former Democratic governors, Democratic lawmakers like Senator Russ Feingold, and six unions. Most of the state's circuit court judges also endorse Bruner. David Ziemer of the Wisconsin Law Journal has examined the candidates' records. He looked at cases they've decided that later went to the state Supreme Court.
Rogensack has an extremely good record of being affirmed on further review, regardless of whether she wrote a majority opinion or if she wrote a dissent and the Supreme Court subsequently takes the case.
He says that's especially true in criminal cases, where the court usually sides with police. In other words, if Rogensack wins, it appears the Supreme Court's so-called conservative majority on criminal cases would gain a fifth vote for the first time in decades. None of Bruner's decisions in criminal cases have been reviewed by the state's high court. In other areas, though, Ziemer says he may not be what some people expect.
Ultimately, if he were to be elected, I think the people who are viewing him as some sort of bulwark against, you know, a creeping ultra-conservative court may not get what they want.
Only a tiny proportion of Bruner's opinions have been reviewed by the Supreme Court. But in those few, Ziemer found Bruner was kinder to insurance companies and companies accused of causing injuries than the current court is. The retiring justice, William Bablich, is often a key swing vote when the court rules in favor of injured people. In terms of experience, both candidates say theirs is more valuable. Rogensack contends her 7 years of reviewing opinions on a state appeals bench in Madison is virtually on-the-job training to write concise decisions for the Supreme Court. She says she also has some helpful institutional knowledge.
How the Court of Appeals actually functions, ways in which it could function more effectively to make the court system more accessible to those with less money but still pressing problems. And I think those types of experiences are necessary to rounding out the membership on the Supreme Court.
But Bruner counters that his 15 years of handling trials in Rice Lake have taught him how the law affects people. Bruner is the chief judge of his district. He's started unusual programs to fight problems like domestic violence and juvenile delinquency. And he's done some creative sentencing, like giving a light jail sentence to a drunk driver who killed someone, but making him pay nearly $250,000 to the child he left without a mother. Bruner wants the Supreme Court to encourage programs that deal innovatively with crime and social problems. And he argues voters should pay attention to his record.
I think it says something about my creativity, my vision, my looking for solutions outside the box. We need to make the court relevant to the people, and we need to look at new ways to make law meaningful in society. Law is what governs the way that we live, and I think a Supreme Court justice that just simply considers themselves a person who writes short decisions and we're going to decide how many cases we're going to move through the system is looking at it from a very clerical and administrative position.
The candidates have also sniped over money. Early on, Bruner promised to refuse political action committee money. Rogensack wouldn't. But later, after seeing media coverage on the issue, she says she decided Bruner was right. PAC money does undermine confidence in the judicial system. But she also challenged Bruner to ask independent groups not to run any ads on his behalf. Bruner contends independent groups have a right to free speech. He also stood to benefit from such ads. Rogan's hack has considerably outspent Bruner in the campaign, thanks in part to substantial loans from her own pocket. She went over a spending limit he hoped she'd agree to. Benson Gardner, Wisconsin Public Radio.